Welcome to the 3-Point Stance Podcast with your host, Dave Wipke.
Welcome back to yet another installment of the 3-Point Stance Podcast. I'm your host, Dave Wipke. We're getting deep into the thick of conference season, so let's get right to the chase.
Okay, starting off, Upper St. Clair was at Peters. That was Allegheny 6.
Much anticipated Allegheny 6 matchup at Peters Township Middle School at Confluence Financial Partners Stadium. Did not know that place had a name until last week, but guess it is now that name, so we're going to go with that. Peters Township making, I shouldn't say short work of Upper St. Clair. It took them a quarter to get going, but they once they got going, they turned it on. They win 31-0, and they have outscored their opponents 183-14 this season. Very dominant. Defensively is where the Indians shined as they sacked Upper St. Clair quarterback Ethan Hellman five times, intercepted him twice, both by Elliot Schratz. He returned one of those picks for a 56-yard touchdown that started the scoring. Peters Township quarterback Nolan DeLucia, he completed 21 of 28 passes for 252 yards, two scores, and one harmless interception. Wideout Nick McCullough, he finished with five catches for 116 yards and one touchdown, which is 59 yards. Carter Shanafelt had a big day. He had a 15-yard touchdown catch late in the first half. He had a couple big punts that pinned the Upper St. Clair deep, and it just was a force all night long. Peters Township in the catbird seat of the Allegheny 6, they continue to look very strong.
Century Conference, McGuffey played host to Waynesburg.
McGuffey looks to be getting their ships straight right now. They take care of Waynesburg 26-7. The Highlanders are back on track. They're now 2-0 in the Century Conference thanks to that win over previously unbeaten Waynesburg at McGuffey High School. Dylan Drobage has been a scoring machine this year for the Highlanders. He added two more touchdown runs in the second half. Quarterback Connor Crow, running the wing tee offense, added a touchdown run to go along with 93 yards rushing. Waynesburg, they had a strong start when Jake Stevenson capped an 11-play 68-yard march via a 6-yard touchdown run. But McGuffey's defense rose up and shut out the Raiders the rest of the way. They blocked a Waynesburg field goal attempt before the end of the half. They kept the score at 7-7, and McGuffey took over from there. They're looking pretty strong, as Waynesburg right now is looking to recover after their first loss of the season.
Let's talk Big 7. Trinity played host to McKeesport.
This was surprisingly a saucy game, and not for the reasons you would think. McKeesport coach Matt Miller and Trinity coach Dan Nouse, they will not be exchanging Christmas cards anytime soon, for obvious reasons, and McKeesport winning 35-7 over Trinity. But the hostilities took place as the second half began, as McKeesport was up 21-0 and kicking off. They decided they were going to onside kick coming out of this halftime locker room. They recovered and scored, went up 28-0. And McKeesport's coach, usually you wouldn't hear this from a head coach. He admitted, Matt Miller that is, admitted that they wanted to get the mercy rule in effect right away. To quote him, "I wanted to get out of here," Miller said. "It's a long drive, you know. This is not a fun place to come to. It's a pain to come down here. And the first chance I get to get 35 and get out of here is my goal. We wanted to get out of here early. We wanted to get the ball back and put more points on the board." Unfortunately for him, they did not get to that 35-point mark until late. They scored with less than a minute left to go up 35-7. It looked a lot like the Penn State-West Virginia game when James Franklin, the Penn State coach, decided to score late to make it a 23-point win instead of a 16-point win over West Virginia. And Coach Miller had basically come out and said that they had third-string guys, second-string guys, and they were just trying to run some stuff and get some work in. Nothing more than that. But Trinity's coach was not having it, simply saying that is the examples of today's football. To quote him, "They scored a touchdown when they could have taken a knee. It's just how things are done now, and I'm used to it. And to be honest with you, that's what people do now." Well, Trinity turning the ball over four times sure didn't help. Again, this was an interesting contest just from the standpoint of the two coaches clearly not seeing eye to eye on how to handle things. So be interesting to see what happens if and when they meet next year when they had the rematch in McKeesport.
Tri-County South, Manesson, they went to California.
California's been a sneaky, strong team in the Tri-County South as they go to 4-1. I believe they are now 2-0 in the Tri-County South. They defeat Manesson 51-20. Jake Lehu had not one but two interception returns for scores that helped put the game away. Manesson had cut the deficit down to 3 entering the third quarter after falling behind 23-0. But California pulled away in the fourth quarter. Lehu's first pick six was a 45-yarder that put him up 11. And the second one was 78 yards with 8 minutes to go, put him up 38-20, basically put the game away from there. Lee Qualk scoring on a 52-yard run in the fourth quarter. And that put the game on ice as they won 51-20. California continues to roll. Spencer Petrucci, we'll talk about him later, opened the scoring with a 19-yard run. Manesson, they're now 0-2, 1-4 in the season. They did show some resiliency coming back from being down 23-0. They got it down to 23-20, but they just couldn't get over the hump in the end.
Another Tri-County South matchup, Bentworth, they played host to West Green.
Yeah, West Green losing their best player, Colin Brady, last week. He has a high ankle sprain, but it didn't matter as the Pioneers get a 39-6 win at Bentworth. Billy Whitlock coming to the rescue, rushing for 242 yards and scoring 3 touchdowns. Johnny Lamp, he caught 2 touchdown passes from West Green quarterback Lane Allison, who finished with 87 yards passing and 3 touchdowns. Lamp also had 73 yards on 10 carries, as West Green, it seems to be more than a one-man band, and that's good for them as they look to roll on in conference play. Vitaly Daniels threw a 54-yard touchdown pass for Bentworth's lone score.
Over to Century Conference, Brentwood, they were at Wash High.
Well, Coach Mike Bosnick has to be happy with how things have progressed as his Prexies are still undefeated. And they had an impressive victory over Brentwood last week, 47-6 at Wash High Stadium. Eddie Lewis continuing his strong season. He ran for 3 first-half touchdowns. Quarterback Tristan Reed also threw for 2 touchdowns. And the Prexies, they were in control the whole game. They scored touchdowns on 6 of their first, 6 of their first 6 possessions. And they led 41-0 at the half. Reuben Gordon opened the scoring for the Prexies with a 65-yard touchdown catch, only 1:07 into the game. And Tristan Reed completing 5 of 8 for 171 yards. Eddie Lewis, his first touchdown covered 5 yards, gave Wash High a 14-0 lead after the first quarter. Percy Dudley got into the act with his first score of the second quarter, a 19-yard scamper into the end zone. And the Prexies were on their way as they continue their strong play in conference action.
Let's talk some non-conference. South Fayette, they were at Cannon Mac.
This is a scary, tight game for Cannon Mac. I think coming off a big win the previous week against Bethel Park, maybe they were looking ahead. They were at home against South Fayette, who had lost the previous week. But give Coach Mike Evans and the Big Macs credit. They were able to overcome and win 14-7. Zion Howard coming to the rescue, catching a 45-yard touchdown pass from Mike Evans with a little less than 3 minutes remaining, and that ended up being the winning margin. This gives Cannon Mac a 4-1 record on the season. The touchdown came on a 3rd-and-20 play. Usually you don't see too much happening on 3rd-and-20. Usually it's a draw and you kick or you set up for the 4th-down play. That's this time Cannon Mac went for the downs, and they got it done. Mike Evans, the coach's son, finishing 13 completions of 24 attempts for 170 yards. Nico LeMond for South Fayette went 18 of 29 for 146 yards as South Fayette falls to 2-3. Zach Welsh continuing his strong season. He finished with 138 yards on 24 carries as the Big Macs held a 320-213 edge in total yards.
And another non-conference matchup, Thomas Jefferson, they were at Bell Vernon.
The AAA state champions, defending state champs, that is, had their 14-game winning streak snapped by an old rival as Quad A's Thomas Jefferson came to town and handed the Leopards a 24-19 loss at Bell Vernon. The Leopards did take a 12-0 lead into the second quarter and looked like they were in control, but the Jags, under Coach Bill Chirpak, as they usually do, claw back and eventually Got back in the game and overtook the Leopards as they outgained Belle Vernon 396 to 261 in total yards. Penn State recruit Quentin Martin for the Leps, the 20-yard touchdown run he had gave Belle Vernon a 19-10 lead at the half. But the Leopards, they were shut down in the second half as they were held to 54 yards the rest of the way. Luke Costco's 49-yard touchdown pass to Jason Salmon was the game winner for TJ in this non-conference clash.
Now back to conference play. Black Hills, Our Lady of the Sacred Heart, was at Fort Cherry.
Some people thought this might have been Fort Cherry's first test. However, it was not, as Fort Cherry got the win 42-0 over Olsh. Shane Cornally got the party starter with a 100-yard kickoff return on the opening kickoff, and Fort Cherry never looked back. Fort Cherry led 14-0 after the first quarter, then broke the game open with a 28-point second-quarter barrage. Ethan Folletto scored two touchdowns. Matt Sieg threw for two scores and ran for another. Braden Cook caught a 33-yard touchdown pass from Sieg in the first quarter, and Folletto caught a 30-yard touchdown pass from Sieg, and he also added a 5-yard touchdown run late in the first half as Fort Cherry continues their role in the Black Hills Conference.
And another Black Hills matchup, Chartiers-Houston, they were at Burgettstown.
Burgettstown looking to get their season straight, and they're on their way to doing that with a 40-0 win at home over Chartiers-Houston. Brody Cougar ran for a touchdown and passed for another. Ryan Murray returned a punt for 16 yards for a score as the Burgettstown Blue Devils get their season straightened out, and they're now sitting at 1-1 in conference, 2-2 overall. Cougar also connected with Zach Schrockman on a 38-yard touchdown pass to open the scoring, and he added a 47-yard touchdown run as well. And Cougar completed 7 of 11 passes for 145 yards. He also rushed for 133 yards on 12 attempts. Schrockman also had a 34-yard touchdown run. Travis Coles and Colton County rounded up the scoring with touchdown runs covering 3 and 18 yards respectively.
And finally, let's talk Tri-County South. Mapletown, they were at Carmichael's.
The Mighty Mikes getting a win over rival Mapletown 27-8 in Tri-County South action. A.J. Donaldson scoring twice for the Mikes. Will Murray opened the scoring for Carmichael's as he raced 52 yards into the end zone at 8:18 in the first quarter. He also took in the two-point conversion for an 8-0 lead. The Mikes extended their advantage to 14-0 with 4 minutes remaining in the second quarter on Donaldson's 4-yard run. Carmichael's then also took advantage of a muff punt by the Maples, who fall to 0-2 in conference play, 2-3 overall. That was recovered by the Mikes to set up the scoring drive. Brock Evans got Mapletown on the board with a two-yard run in the third period, but it wasn't enough as Carmichael's takes home the win 27-8.
Anything additional you want to mention about week number 4 before we move on to previewing week 5?
I'm not surprised that Belle Vernon fell to TJ. That's always been an interesting rivalry now that Thomas Jefferson's in Quad A, Belle Vernon in Triple A. Coach Bill Chirpak has TJ rolling as he usually does. I don't think this loss is going to hurt Belle Vernon a whole lot. I know Coach Matt Humbert really wanted an undefeated season, but they still got a lot to play for. They're still their conference play, still looking hot, still looking good, and they should be a force in AAA going forward. What else can you say about Peters Township? They really haven't been challenged, and I don't expect them to be challenged this week against Baldwin, but we'll get into that later.
Okay, now previewing week number 5, which that's wild to me, week number 5. So let's talk Century Conference. Wash High, they're going to be at Waynesburg.
Century Conference foes, longtime foes, getting it on as Wash High will be making a trip south on 79 to Waynesburg. They motored through the early part of their schedule unscathed, but they're going to have a stiff test against a really tough Waynesburg team coming off a tough loss. Quarterback Tristan Reed has been at the controls of a very good offense that's averaged close to 39 points per game. Xavier Willis and Percy Dudley getting it down on the ground while Reuben Gordon is getting it done at receiver and defensive back. Waynesburg is going to look to Jake Stevenson to lead the way for them as the Raiders are still looking to harbor hopes of a special season. They can get things turned around quick if they beat Washington. Hasn't happened much, but if it happens on Friday night, I think that really gets them going and could probably set them up for maybe a run at the conference title.
Tri-County 5, Cannon Mack at Central Catholic.
This is the ultimate David versus Goliath contest. Pittsburgh Central Catholic has a roster that is to be envied by basically any high school program in the state. I'm convinced if Central Catholic played a good Division III team like W&J, they would win. That's how good the Central Catholic team is. But, hey, that's why they play the games. The Big Macs are going to make the trip north to Pittsburgh. They're going to play at Carnegie Mellon. They came off a tight win over South Fayette last week, 14-7. They're coming in with a big, tough defense. As you well know, their defense has been very good all year, and they're going to have to be very, very good Friday night as they take on a very good Central Catholic squad that won 50-22 last week over North Allegheny, at North Allegheny. That's nothing to sneeze at. This is the first 5-0 start for Central Catholic since 2014. They boast Division I recruits such as Penn State commits Peter Gonzalez and Anthony Speca, and Michigan commit Cole Sullivan. Pete Gonzalez is the son of former Pitt quarterback, by the same name, Peter Gonzalez, and he'll be playing receiver, and it's going to be a handful for the Cannon Mac secondary. This is kind of like Rocky Balboa taking on Apollo Creed in the first matchup, so good luck to the Big Macs. They're going to really get a stiff test. We'll see what they do against probably the number one 6A team in the state.
And Black Hills, Fort Cherry, they are going to be at Bishop Canavan.
Saturday night game at Dormont Stadium, and 3-Point Stance Podcast will be there for this one as the Tanner Gary-led Rangers will be looking for another test here in the Black Hills. I think they're going to get all they can handle from the Crusaders. They are undefeated as well. But as you very well know, Fort Cherry's been a machine all season, thanks to the likes of Matt Sieg, Ethan Folletto, and Shane Cornelli leading the way. The defense has pitched consecutive shutouts the last 2 weeks. Bishop Canavan did not play last week as their game with Avella was canceled due to injuries on the Avella roster. But the previous contest was an impressive 35-0 win over a tough Burgettstown squad. The Crusaders also own wins this year over Class AA Keystone Oaks, and a week one win at Greensburg Central Catholic on the road. So we'll see what happens here. Bishop Canavan, I think, is a little bit more battle-tested than Fort Cherry. I still think Fort Cherry is probably the better team, and I expect Fort Cherry to win. But I could see this being a close game. Cole Leshefsky, quarterback for the Crusaders, he's completed 66% of his throws for 605 yards and 9 scores. Will be one to keep an eye on as Fort Cherry looks to keep their special season going.
Allegheny 6, Peters, they're going to be at Baldwin.
This is a mismatch on paper and most likely a mismatch on the field. As I mentioned earlier, Peters Township, they have outscored the opposition 183-14. Nolan DeLucci has been unbelievable this year, the sophomore getting the nod to start a quarterback, and he has delivered, completing 64% of his throws for 860 yards and 10 scores. The defense has been unbelievable all season. Mickey Vaccarello, who's starting to get some Division I attention. Boston College has recently reached out to him and offered him. Rustin Lehman looks like he's going to be a Division I player in the future. Jake Velgich, Franco Muscatello up front. And Elliot Schratz, who had 2 interceptions last week. The defense for Peters Township has been the story all year, and it should be just as strong again. I expect them to pitch another shutout this week at Baldwin.
Tri-County South, Mapletown, they're going to play host to California.
Another 3-Point Stance podcast special. I'll be traveling to Mapletown on Friday to check out some Greene County football. The California Trojans have quietly gone about their business in the Mon Valley. They are now 2-0 in conference, 4-1 overall. They're going to be taking on a scrappy Mapletown bunch that's lost 3 in a row, but they're looking to get their season right as they play at home against this Cal team. Mapletown always tough at home. Keep an eye on Cal Spencer Petrucci. He's averaged almost 10 yards a carry, with 548 yards rushing and 8 scores. Mapletown will counter with Evan Griffin, who's tallied 302 yards rushing this year on 34 carries and 4 scores.
Finally, Black Hills Conference, Burgettstown, they're going to be at Cornell.
Burgettstown sitting there at 2-2 overall, 1-1 in the conference. They can send the message as they have Cornell on the docket. Cornell sitting there undefeated. But Burgettstown, they have a chance here. They blew out Shar Houston last week. Stepping up in class this week as they take on an undefeated Raiders team. They're going to have their hands full with Cornell quarterback Christopher Jackson, who's thrown for nearly 600 yards and 11 touchdowns on the season. Khalil Johnson is pacing Cornell's rushing attack with 435 yards rushing to go with three scores. But Burgerstown always plays tough defense. Should be a good ball game up there in Coriopolis. If Burgerstown wins this game, they can make some noise in this conference. A couple other items to keep an eye on. We got McGuffey will be taking on Stowe Rocks in some Century Conference action. If McGuffey can get another win, their season will continue to roll on. Stowe Rocks beat them last year 7-0. I'm sure Coach Ed Dalton's thinking revenge in this one. And Trinity in non-conference play will be traveling to Latrobe to take on the Wildcats in Westmoreland County. And that will be rounding up the action. Week 5 is here. October is close. We're almost halfway through the season, folks. So keep it tuned here to the 3-Point Stance podcast as we'll be continuing to follow along as the Whipple season rolls on. Tune in next week as we recap Week 5 action and preview Week 6 action. This is the 3-Point Stance podcast.